Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's like everything else. I sing about something else and you went hello and I was like shit fuck hello back like
that
straight
was
in
like I haven't seen you in ages
hello that was
but
so
I saw
I really
last,
enjoyed that
sorry, you saw last week you saw me last week and you we saw each other at the beginning of this conversation which took place obviously a few minutes before we're talking now
yeah so
sorry I'm, everyone
no so, somehow I still managed to muster up a big old haven't seen you in ages hello.
I feel very loved now by that film. It's really good. By the way, hello. This is We Heart Worry.
Yes, the comedy podcast that talks about worries.
Mm-hmm. I'm Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn. And it's a Monday morning.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day.
Listen.
Yeah.
But it's also a Monday morning. And I don't know about you, Phil, but everything feels like an attack.
Yes.
Just trying to maneuver myself around my bedroom, get myself into a shower. Mm. You know, it was all too much.
Mm. Like we haven't worked regular hours for years.
No.
Yet there's still something about the Monday morning, especially now we're just out of September, but a Monday morning in September, I still wake up with the feeling of,
school.
I'm supposed to be somewhere. I'm meant to be doing something. Somebody wants me for something. I surely can't be just left to my own devices, just walking around.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday. Do I not have somewhere to be?
Yeah.
Answer, no.
No.
No, unfortunately, no one wants to see you.
Nobody's interested in what anything you're at the moment. That discomfort of just wafting around as an adult without somebody to tell you.
I know.
You sit there and shut up or whatever it might be.
But I always remember when I forgive me if I've told this story before. I don't think I have on the podcast anyway, where I was in school when I was a child, about seven or eight. They made me go. Oh. It was compulsory at that point in history. And I remember looking out the window, it was about midday, and there was a man walking down the street. And I thought to myself, it's Wednesday, it's midday. This man is not at work. Whatever is going on in his life, I want a piece of it. This is how I want to be living my life when I'm old. Mm. I want to be out on a Wednesday afternoon, midday, no job in sight. I committed myself then and there to an irregular job.
Do you reckon he was an actor?
No, it was Drogheda in the 1980s. I don't think, 1990s, I don't think that he...
Could have been Johnny Logan.
From Eurovision fame.
Did he live in Drogheda?
I don't know. Phil,
why
if
am
he
I
did. It's the birthplace of Pierce Brosnan. I don't think it was.
It could
Pierce
be him
Brosnan.
Back on a visit.
Just walking around. Yeah. No, I don't. Listen, I don't want to assume anything that was going on in this man's life. Mm. Maybe he was on his way to work and he just, again, didn't work a 9-to-5. Or maybe he was gainfully unemployed at the time.
Yeah. Or he could have booked that day off weeks in advance.
Yeah, it was me, the mind of a child looking out the window going, he's free. He's not stuck in school here listening to this shit.
Telling him what to do.
Exactly. He's not being taught about Jesus.
No. Could have been self-employed.
Could have been self-employed.
Yeah.
I seem to be down. I was speaking about Jesus last week on the podcast.
Mm.
Now I've brought him up again. He seems to be on my mind. But I'll sidestep it, Phil, because...
I'm still kind of worrying about if we said that something bad...
Oh, yes, because we said that Jesus had to go across town for a brunch.
For a brunch. And I thought, oh, people might be
upset. Somebody might be offended. I think if somebody who really, listen, we were both of us were reared Catholic. So we know the deal when it comes to the old Jesus and Mary and God and all that kind of
We'd
stuff.
We'd have a rough pencil drawing idea. But
if someone is super into Jesus and I dig them for it, you know, I was in the Legion of Mary as well, which was a Saturday place that you went to and talked about Jesus. Yeah. Me and my friend used to go there on a Saturday afternoon. There was a nun. She would give us chocolate that was covered like in a white film. So
it's gone off.
It's gone off.
Or it's from the pen shop.
We ate it.
And you would. It was the 80s.
And we'd sit there and talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Just the two of ye.
There was an older girl and then I think a younger girl. So there was only about four of us in the Legion of Mary. But we went and we talk about Jesus and God. In brackets, and God. And there was a raffle one time and I remember winning a Child of Prague statue. Do you remember Child of Prague?
Yes, I do.
I was fucking made up and I brought it home to my mother and I was like, look at this shit. It's a fucking Child of Prague, man.
Did you get any costumes for him? Any rig outs?
No. It's just like a Delph statue.
Oh, he came with his
clothes on.
Already infused clothed. Onto him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I never like put him into a Barbie situation. Do you know when you're a kid and sometimes you'd have another figurine or something and you'd go, I'll bring this into the Barbie world.
It wasn't even Barbie. It wasn't even Barbie adjacent. It was some other, it was an E.T. doll or it was a something else.
I had all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had all the brothers, action men all sequestered in.
Did they go on dates with Barbie or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was always in that.
They all only had fatigues to wear, you know, army garb. It's kind of like, I'd just love an LV neck jumper for this guy. Or maybe
a blazer.
Nice old blazer. Because they're going to a restaurant. You can't be wearing his army rig out to the restaurant, like.
But that's the thing. So, I was always looking for Barbie partners because my mom never bought me a Ken. I think she bought my sister a Cool Shave Ken once.
Cool Shave?
Yeah, I think it came with a... what you call it, like a goatee.
Oh.
But we only had the one Ken and then I think he was like disposed of, the body was disposed of. And so you'd always be looking for pals for Barbie or like, as you're saying, like prospective dates. But I never brought the Child of Prague into that.
Yeah.
First of all, he was a child, so you're not going to send him on a date with Barbie. And second of all, he was a religious figurine.
Yeah, you kind of keep him outside of the whole Barbie thing. And it'd be a bit weird that he would probably, I'm guessing he's a child, but I'm guessing he'd probably be 1.5 times bigger than Barbie herself.
He was a large statue. But the reason I'm saying all that, Phil, is to just say if someone is big into Jesus, I'm going to say, like, I get that. But also, like, just don't be offended because I can't. And also, I just won't.
It's a Monday morning.
And I can't deal with other people. At all, apart from you, obviously.
Thank you.
So, this
I need to cough.
Go for it.
Sorry, I should have said clear my throat.
That was very much like somebody in a film, you know, that was like when you're trying to like,
down on the script be written the word would be A H E M, or person grabs Leonardo DiCaprio's attention. Leo.
That would be my only line as well. That's great. Yeah. Thanks for that. Bye.
It's a speaking part.
Don't look at Leonardo DiCaprio in the eyes.
No.
Look at him if I want, is what I'd say.
Look at him if I want.
Thanks very much. I feel like we've gone off into the reeds slightly. So I'll bring us back and say, should we get on with the worries of the week?
Yeah. I think, are you first?
I think I'm first. I know I'm first, Phil. I know I am. And I'm confident with it.
We don't have to stick to that. If you prefer to go second, that's fine.
I'm going to go first. I'm going to grab this bull by the horns. I've noticed as well that my worries of recent are not like, you know, boom, here's the worry. It's like all through the houses and around in the back again. It's like I've realised something that I realised was a worry and this. So I'm going to do one of those. It's going to be hard to summarise in the little blurb.
Is it? So apologies in advance.
Sorry for that.
Is it like the power of hindsight?
The power of hindsight. Yes, Philippe. Because, so let's take it back a bit. I have always had a very active imagination, right? Have to have had for being a writer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
A creative. And I've always loved that about myself. But during lockdown in particular, I noticed that I was going into daydreaming. I'm a big daydreamer anyway. But usually I reserve my daydreams for the bus or, you know, something like when I'm just doing something, traveling, usually when I have my daydreams. But when we went into lockdown, I started to daydream an awful lot. And I think obviously what I was trying to get through lockdown, and I was on my own, and it was, you know, hard to be on your own for a very long time. Now, forgive me, because I know when people are talking about lockdown, they're talking about, oh, I was alone, da 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 da. First of all, hyper aware that people lost their loved ones, people's lives were lost. Also that people's jobs were lost, that they were in huge financially bad situations. So I'm really appreciative of that. So again, I'm always going, oh, again, I worry. Does this sound compared to that? But I'll continue because I think it might help other people. So I was going into this pattern of daydreaming, and I was kind of saying to myself after lockdown, after the first lockdown, like, okay, I've done all my daydreaming. That was really nice. Like, how do I kind of come back into my real life a bit more and stop going off into the daydreams? Because I realized what was happening was anytime I felt any level of discomfort or anything like that, I'd go into a daydream. And it was starting to happen. Like, I would be watching something on the television, and then I'd start to speak out loud as if I was in this is how bad it got. I was talking to people in this kind of, I knew I was in my house. It wasn't like I could picture people. It wasn't a hallucination, but it was like I would flip back and forth from daydream to real life. But it would be more often than not, I'd tend to go into the daydream. To cut a very long story short, it's just very recently that I figured out that I had been for ages and ages going, oh, I just don't think I like being in the present moment. You know, I've read my Eckhart Tolle books. I've read Michael Singer, who did the surrender experiment. He also kind of talks about when your bad feelings come up. Because what would happen was I'd stop daydreaming, and then this immense amount of like either anger or sadness or something would kind of bubble up within me. And I'd go, oh, that doesn't feel incredibly nice. And then I would feel it because I've read all those books and I know what to do. And then I would feel a sense of like boredom with my life and just like, oh, nothing's happening. Nothing's going anywhere. But anyway, it took me until like the other day to realize that there were certain things in my life. It wasn't that I was bored with being in the present moment. There were certain things in my life, certain situations I was in that I just didn't want to look at. That became really obvious over lockdown that those situations weren't working for me. Do you know what I mean? Some with, you know, people, some with work, that kind of thing. But it was like lockdown, and I'm sure other people felt this as well. Well, I don't know if you felt it, Phil, but it was like it kind of made certain things undeniable. And what I did was denied the undeniable by going, oh, I'm just going to go off into my head. This feels easier. This feels nicer in here. I can make up all of these, like, you know, wonderful things that are going to happen to me one day. And now in the past couple of days of just going, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going off, because this is the thing as well. A couple of days ago, I woke up and said to myself, here we are at the end of the year. And I don't feel like I've been present this entire year. I don't think that I've been in my life as much as I would like to have been. I can meet people for coffee. I can go to work or whatever, but I'm always somewhere else in my mind. And I just thought, do I want to spend my life like this? Do I want to spend another 10 years of just going in and out of these mad daydreams? Or do I want to live my fucking life, even if it isn't as exciting as the places I go to in my mind? And so when I was like, I'm going to fight for my shitty reality and just go on this like mental diet of just going, I'm not thinking about that. I'm whatever it is, come up. If I'm bored, I'm fucking bored. I don't care anymore. And then it was like my beautiful, brilliant mind went, do you not see this? Do you not see what this is? This isn't working, yes. This is not working. And I was going, oh my God, this is not working. And then I allowed myself to feel the anger, I allowed myself to feel the sadness or whatever it is. And I'm still in a lot of it. But I just thought, God, isn't that weird? It's like, I know that we talk about a lot, obviously. We identify the worry. You know what I mean? Like we know, oh, fear of flying. Fear of statues. Sorry, Phil. But then I just went, this worry was so there and so didn't want to be felt and so didn't want to be recognized that it did a very, very clever thing. My beautiful subconscious mind did a very clever thing of going, let's just go over here. Oh, look at this over here, Yaz. This is just a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of pictures and, you know, images in your head that's going to make you feel better. Because if you look at this, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt you a little bit.
Mm.
And again, it's one of my friends and I were talking about it this morning. We're saying it's a bit like when you don't feel your feelings, it feels like the big bad wolf is at your door. Because they're there and it's outside and it's like, if I let that in, it's so scary to me. It's gonna kill me. It's gonna, you know, if I'm a pig, obviously, in this scenario. I'm a pig, right?
There's but what a big kind of house wolf. Are you living in? Is it a house of sticks or bricks or straw?
I think it's the house of bricks, because the big bad wolf cannot get in, right?
Okay.
I don't know what happened to my brothers or slash sisters. I don't know where they're gone. But I'm in the house of bricks. The big bad wolf is at the door and I'm like, oh my God, he's ferocious. Mm. He's already had my brothers and my sisters.
And is the terror coming from the fact that you know that it's outside and it's trying to get in?
Yes. And yeah. And it's
or
like,
is it
if
the,
I...
Is the wolf the scary thing? Or I don't know. Or is it the same thing? Sorry. I shouldn't.
No. I know what you mean. Yes, it's both. It's like the... He's scary in himself, but like the promise of what he might bring. It's the unknown. It's, oh God, he becomes this. He's not only the wolf. It's like everything around him, all of the air around him is scary.
Mm.
And then what I've realized is when you open the door and you let the big bad wolf in, he's usually kind of a puppy. It's just a little puppy.
It wasn't a wolf at all.
It wasn't a wolf at all. It was a puppy.
Yeah.
And so it's just... So yeah, I think, again, if that's helpful for somebody who finds themselves, I think the term is maladaptive daydreaming. If you find yourself going, I'm daydreaming all the time, or I don't really want to be in my life, then, and again, I've said this a million times, I've got a really nice life full of lovely people who care about me. I'm very blessed. And at midday on a Wednesday, I am usually free. That dream came true for me, Phil.
Yeah.
I live my
dreams.
Biggest dreams.
Yeah.
But I think it was something that I obviously did when I was a kid, you know, and I think a lot of kids do it. And as I said, it's part of my job is to be in that imagination and to think of ideas and to think of, you know, plots and all of that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But it just was interesting that I was going, I'm actually so good at doing this and find this so easy to do that now I'm in a situation where I'm not really part of my life anymore. I'm just in this weird hinterland.
Do you think you've spent... Basically, the soap opera that you created as a distraction is a kind of semi-real.
Yes.
Because you've invested so much in it.
Yes. Do you remember, I think it was Falcon Crest. There was an American like soap opera that was on. They showed on Irish television. Mm. And at the beginning, the music was... Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And the people walked down a staircase. That was the beginning. Everybody walked down the staircase and it would be like Philippa Dunn as Marjorie St. Clair.
Oh yeah.
And then you would stop and you kind of like move your shoulders, you know, and then you go down the stairs
and give a sideways glance and then move on again.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I basically was living in my own version of a Falcon Crest type situation. I came down that staircase like dun, 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 dun.
I think I used to get Falcon Crest perpetually confused with Dynasty.
Yeah, they were similar. I think they might have even been from the same stable, the Aaron Spelling School of
TV.
TV. I don't know if that's right, but I know there was either Santa Barbara.
Oh, I used to watch that.
What was the deal with Santa Barbara?
I don't know, but I loved it when I was about 8 or 9. Oh, I loved it. I thought it was class.
Was it the glamour?
No, I think these were kind of more everyday people, but like I just, It was basically like, I just thought that this was like real life. This is what grown-ups do. This is how grown-ups live their lives, what grown-ups wear. And then it was just basically a live action of one of my Barbie games. Just constant.
Right. Not featuring the Child of Prague in that either.
No.
Right.
Plenty of Kens though with, you know, appropriate attire. Not a single army uniform in sight. You know, if you're going to the restaurant, you're wearing a shirt and a pair of slacks.
That sounds like something that you'd say if you went to a party and there's loads of handsome men there. You go, oh, plenty of Kens.
Well, I was actually kind of more partial to a Paul.
Oh,
yeah, Cindy's boyfriend.
Boy.
Yeah, Paul.
What was the deal with Paul? I never heard from him.
The Paul that I had, I think he just I wonder is this why I chose him off the shelf. He only came with a pair Bermuda shorts.
Right.
I think he was like Beach Paul or something.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
Was that appropriate attire for a restaurant outing?
No.
Better in your mind than coming in as work gear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, you could have a day off in your Bermuda shorts. You couldn't have a day off in your fatigues, your army fatigues.
You'd probably be too warm, wouldn't it?
Your camouflage, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be going out to a barbecue in your flage.
No, with the helmet under your arm.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody in the army ever calls it flage.
Don't know.
Like, Jerry, have you seen my flage? I have to go out.
Oh, I'm having a total mare. I can't find my flage. I think what you were pure escapism.
Yeah. Yes.
When does that become harmful, though? I'm sure you can get to the point where it's like, look, you need to ground yourself and come back to the real world.
Mm.
But like a bit of escapism now again.
Listen, I love it.
It can be a lot of fun. It gets the old imagination muscle flexed, and imagination is terribly important in our line of work. I'm looking for the positives here now.
No,
I'm
not
saying it's
a
negative thing. I'm just wondering why. I think we definitely do it for a reason, and it's obviously if it was lockdown, you're feeling awfully out of your comfort zone. I'm not surprised one bit that you did a bit of owl. Escapism.
Yes, because my friend did say to me this morning as well that because she was kind of in a similar situation, and she said we did that because that's what was going on and we have to have compassion for ourselves. And I think she's dead right, because again, there was such few things that we could all do. I know I was overeating at the time as well, and I know that some people have said to me, oh God, I drank too much or whatever, so that we were all using coping skills to get through it. And I think all that happened was maybe I got into the habit of double downing on my coping mechanism and then didn't kind of come out the other side. Because I also felt as well, even though I've been working and going out and, you know, like traveling for work in a responsible way, mm-hmm. I still felt like I was in the lockdown. Like my brain just felt like it hadn't moved on, that I felt a bit stuck. And I think it was because I was using that coping mechanism, so I felt like I wasn't really moving on, if that makes any sense. Because I kept disengaging from my real life and going, I'm just going to go back into... So like I would say to myself at the beginning of lockdown, oh my God, am I ever going to be in a plane again? You know?
Mm.
I mean, you know how much I love that. But I was just going, or any kind of like, oh God, will I go... When will I get back to Ireland? Or
yeah, will this ever happen again? Will I see these people ever again? Will I ever go to will I ever go to a cafe again? Like you're very socially understimulated at the time.
Yes.
And you were doing like find a happy place.
Yes.
And you got very adept at it.
Mm.
And you enjoyed it, I'd say.
Mm.
And then yeah, if you go back into the, like coming back into the real world, it's an adjustment. I think we're all kind of like adjusting in our own way. And like I know with myself, I go, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just, you know, leave the house and get on the bus? It's not a weird thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't do it for nearly 2 years. So
yeah,
give me 5 minutes while I just get back to it. getting used to this kind of, you know, this is, and the pace of life and stuff like that. And so I think maybe we've created behaviors that became our norm.
Mm.
Maybe they're not compatible with everyday life as it's going back to the new normal or whatever you call it.
Yes.
And we're just kind of trying to figure out where those thoughts and behaviors go while we're readjusting ourselves.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Obviously, there's nothing wrong with daydreaming. It's absolutely fine. I think it is like you say, it's like when I came out of it and went back into the, when I was being stimulated again by external situations, it was, I didn't make the adjustment of, okay, I'm back and I don't need to use this thing.
Yes.
And also it became, I think I leaned in it so much that it became more fun to be in the, like I felt more experiences of joy in my imagination than I was actually.
Oh, stop.
And it was so that my emotions were bigger and they felt more profound and more intense. And so then being part of my life, my regular life, like even the, it was, I think I noticed now and looking back, it dulled me to some really amazing life experiences that actually went on. So nice. Like my niece was born a couple of months ago, about 3 months ago. And, you know, she's my only niece and I only have one sister. And, oh my God, like this kid is just the most beautiful thing. But on the day she was born, I was with my friends and we were having a coffee and we started getting into an intense conversation. And then I looked down at my phone and the picture was that, you know, she's here, you know? And I remember being like, oh my God. And I was so overcome. And even when I held her for the first time, I, you know, had a big old cry and all that stuff. But again, it wasn't as intense as the feelings and emotions I was getting in these daydreams. Mm. And so I was just going, again, yeah, because my daydreams are being completely orchestrated by me. And it's like I'm picking out all of the things that I want. It's like going into a sweet shop and only picking out the things that you want to experience. Whereas in reality, you know, while I'm holding my brand new niece, my sister is also like going, oh, I'm jaded. Can you order me some food? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not ever, it's, yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
Yeah, you were struck by the mundanity.
Yeah, it's like life is beautiful and it's amazing. And sometimes it can be the most awesome experience ever. But there's a very light, like scattering, like hundreds and thousands on top of a cake of boredom or just fine or whatever.
Or disappointment.
Or disappointment or whatever it might be. So that's what, but I'm just going, I want that. I want that more than I want to live a life like Walter Mitty. Don't want to be Walter Mitty.
Well, the daydreams, I mean, they're always so much more heightened.
And yeah.
they are like, they run like a movie, like a drama.
Mm.
And they're going to be very dramatic, very intense. I don't just don't think life really day to day is ever going to play like a movie.
No, no, it's not meant to.
No.
And
I think a lot of people go through life going, but I was expecting this and I was expecting like fireworks and I was expecting blah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, like, but like real life is real life. Do you know?
I know.
I'm not saying real life is shit, but I'm just saying I think movies and stuff have spoiled us in a way.
Yes, I think you're right. But also I think there's something about when you put something on a pedestal, like if it's a job or a person or whatever, and you say, if I got that, then there would be the fireworks. And it's like putting too much pressure on that job or that person or whatever it is. It's just like you have to understand that whatever is going to come into your life is going to feel very normal to you after an experience of a couple of weeks or even maybe even a couple of hours.
Totally.
I always remember... So you'll get this, Phil, as an actor. It's like when you're an out of work actor, all you do is think, if I had a job, I'd feel so much better. I'd just be everything would be better. Everything in my life would be better. Mm. And I remember I was working an awful lot and I wasn't feeling very good. I was feeling very, very down. And I was going, I don't think this is it. I don't think working is the thing that's going to make me happy. And so I wanted this job, right? And I was going, I really, really want to get this job. If I get it, I'm going to see how long. I know I've told you this.
Oh,
I don't know if I've
yeah.
said this before on the podcast. I don't know what my mind is doing to me today. So I was like, I'm going to time how long I feel excited and happy if I get this job. So I get the call. I've got the job. 25 minutes of happiness.
This is it.
25 minutes of happiness, Phil.
Yeah, but I think that story really sums up just... how we think a lot of the time, which is that, you know, you keep delaying your happiness and your satisfaction for that time when.
Yeah.
I'll be happy when. And it comes.
Yeah. And it's 25 fucking minutes.
Yeah. And you still don't allow yourself, or you just don't know how to be happy about it because...
But also, then it's like, it's part of your... So if you're happy, you go, oh God, that's great. I'm so excited. I'm so proud of myself. I can't wait to do it. And then you text a couple of friends or you say to the people around you, oh, I've got this job, whatever.
Mm.
That's now done. Then you're sitting there in the glow of, oh, I got it. Then there's nothing, there's nowhere else to go after that. Everything's done. Everybody knows, you know, and now it's on to, well, now I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go and do that job.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now that then it becomes part of your real life. And now suddenly the glamour of it has decreased by about 90%. And it is about, I've got to learn my lines. I've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I hope I don't have a spot that day. If I do have a spot, they'll just have to deal with it. I can't do anything about, yes, I have now got 4 spots on my chair. Do you know, it becomes that.
Is it just an argument for, look at, things in your head are always way better than they are in real life.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, you can make that choice and decide to live in your head. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but you're just not going to experience your real life. And that would be quite a shame because, again, it's like the like, I'm not going to, like I would, oh, there's an airplane overhead. I don't know if you can hear that.
Don't worry. I've got like about 4 emails since we started recording that I'm sure you could hear them binging. So
I never heard one thing.
Okay.
But yes, yeah, sorry. Look, I want to be present in my shitty, boring life. I want it all. I want every single fucking bit of it.
This is it. You see, it is possible. You know, you meet those people. I know those people who are like, they're so happy. When good things are happening, they're happy. When they're on their holidays, they're on their fucking holidays. They're like, oh, I'm delighted. I'm on my holidays. And I know that when we go on our holidays, me and you, we go, well, that's day one over. Sure, that's the end of that now. Holiday's nearly over. Sure, why would I be excited about the next 5 days? Sure, I'll be going home on Saturday.
Yeah, start lining up your shoes, going, like, this is what I'll pack first.
I'm not unpacking because there's no point. I'll be going home in a week, so.
Exactly. Do you know what? Yeah. Oh, no, here we are on day 2. Sure, it's practically over.
Maybe it's just a thing of practicing, you know, everyday joy of actually being in the moment when the good stuff is happening. So you don't have to dream about it happening in the future.
Mm.
You don't have to reminisce about it being in the past. You go, this is happening right now and I'm delighted about it.
Yes.
And also being very happy in your day to day, which is, you know, I'm well.
Mm-hmm.
I've got everything I need. I you know, I've got this on my side. I've got that on my side. I don't think I'm done with life just yet. I think there's more for me to experience.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, it, like that practice of just being constantly, you know, present, appreciative. What's the other word I was thinking of another word there.
Fabulous.
Yeah. That goes without saying. Oh, look at it again. It's Monday morning.
Yeah, no, there's a, but to add to that though, Phil, because I practice gratitude every morning, and I this was the weird thing, because I was absolutely practicing gratitude. I was absolutely able to be appreciative and grateful for the life that I was in. But I think for me, I wasn't able to look at these things that I needed to look at that weren't working in my life. And so,
oh, okay.
Because I was saying to myself, why do I feel like this? I know I have a great life. I know I'm so blessed and I'm so fortunate. Why can't I get out of this thing? And it was like, because getting out of my head would mean that I would have to be present in my life. And when I was present in my life, the things that I were denying were kind of bubbling up around me. And then it wasn't until yesterday that I went, oh, I know what it is. I know I'm so sad that this is the case, and now I have to kind of just move on with it.
Okay.
I'm just aware of the time, as I always am. But I just wanted to say that, because if there is somebody who's going, I'm feeling grateful, I'm feeling like I'm a little bit stuck, and I don't know how to, like, I don't know why I'm not able to kind of be present in my life, and I seem like I'm happy. It could be because there's something that, listen, I don't know your life, I'm sorry, but there just could be something that if you stop going into those patterns of daydreaming intensely and just allow yourself to kind of be in your life and let all the pain come, then sometimes I think what you're denying, because I wasn't aware that I was denying these things at all. Mm. I didn't think there were even issues, and then went, yeah, this thing isn't working out. That sounds
like, but I think, like, you had a sense there was something lurking, though.
Maybe. Is the weird thing. So, obviously, I don't want to say it because of personal things, but like, I had some dreams, right? And I, like, we had talked about my Jared Leto dream. Wasn't anything to do with Jared Leto. I had some dreams and I couldn't figure out what the fuck they were about. And now, when I think about them, they were signs of this thing. But I didn't know.
Very,
did you just give me a thumbs up on Zoom?
I did not. I would give you. Who did
that? Just as soon as I said that, this thumbs up came up on your screen.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're,
I don't know. Is there a spirit? Spirit, can you hear us?
Oh, don't start that.
Oh, sorry, Phil. Sorry.
I don't want to start communicating with stuff.
No. And I'm sorry. I'm busy. So anyway, that was my worry of the week. And yeah.
She's very insightful.
Thanks.
Very deep. If I was doing active daydreaming to the extent of I was like having the conversations out loud. Yeah. Now, I usually do that when I'm angry with someone. And I'll be in the kitchen and I'll be going through an argument in my head and I might burst out into, would you ever shut the fuck up?
We all do that. Yeah.
But we'll leave it at that. And I think that's healthy because it stops me from saying it in real life to the person.
To their face. Yeah. And slapping them.
So I kind of try and work out the aggression at home in my own downtime. Usually while I'm chopping vegetables or something, you know. But yeah, no, I think that's really, really interesting that you'd be that aware, because I'd be doing all that rigmarole of, you know, role playing in my head and creating fantasy scenarios. And then I would just think that, like, oh, I've got a few minutes on my hands. I'll just think about something terribly fun.
But that's the thing, because so I looked it up. I looked up because there's an actual like thing about maladaptive daydreaming. And one of the things is if you're doing it for a few minutes, you're doing it for a little while, or you're on the bus or whatever, that all makes sense. But if you're doing it more than that, are you finding that you're losing hours of your day to being in a different...
Yeah.
then it's slightly more concerning, because it's like, I suppose if you're daydreaming and you come back and you go, oh, that was a nice daydream, I had fun, and now I'm going to do whatever. Grand. But if you're kind of, if you miss your daydream, do you know what I mean? And I think that was happening where I was missing my daydreams and going, oh, I'd rather be in that world in my head, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine telling your boss the end of the day, sorry, I didn't lick all them envelopes. I was just investing in a new episode of the daydream. What's the daydream, Phil? What is this thing I do in my head? It's basically, you know, I live in Los Angeles and I drive an open top car. I'm awful very rich. I've got great hair, fabulous hairline. I can fit into great jeans. Oh, church is amazing. And I, you know, I'm up in Beverly Hills. Shopping on Rodeo Drive. You know, it's so, I would like literally I would go off and live in the fantasy land any day of the week if I could.
Yeah. No, it's
very attractive. Very attractive.
It is attractive. It's just about going, look, listen, we can all dip our toe in it. We can all come down the staircase in Falcon Crest.
Yeah.
/ Santa Barbara, whatever freaking one it was. But there's a time to come down the staircase and there's a time to sit on your sofa in real life.
And finish your tax return.
And finish your fucking tax return.
Yeah. Or unload the dishwasher.
Yeah. Or get on with things.
The wash. Just
get on with things. Be, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna see my friend for coffee. That's good enough. That's great. Sorry, I wasn't getting emotional again. I was stifling a burp. Okay. I mean, that's right. But anyway, yeah, so I hope that's helpful to somebody. It's been tremendously liberating for me. I feel like I'm back in my life, but it also feels a little bit like, you know,
bored.
A little bit bored. But you know, when you go away for ages and you come back and your garden has overgrown and you're like, what the I feel like that's what I'm coming back to. It's like I'm stepping back into my life going, oh, I haven't been here for a while.
Oh, God, I have a mess to clean up.
I have a big old mess to clean up, but, you know, we'll do it. We'll take it one step at a time.
Yeah, one step at a time is correct.
Which was a Johnny Logan. No, that was Michael Ball. Oh. One step at a time
is correct. I know. I remember. No, I don't remember that song, actually.
I think it was a Eurovision one. That's why I'm getting him confused with Johnny Logan. Eurovision.
Making your mind up.
What's that? Bucks Fizz.
Bucks Fizz.
Yeah. Moving on, Phil, what's your worry of the week?
And when I had this worry, I thought, oh, this is a kind of this is the kind of existential big stuff that Yaz worries about. I think I told you about this last week. And I was kind of like, oh, finally, does this mean I'm actually finally starting to worry about real things? Instead of, you know, my fantasy worries, which are like, oh, if I go down the shop, will my house blow up? Or, you know, have I accidentally, without me knowing, poisoned my neighbor's child with weed killer?
But that they're all very real.
But also kind of absolutely useless, you know. Useless.
So I think they're very useful. For this podcast, they're incredibly useful.
Very useful, yeah. So I was going to sleep one night. And I was just kind of, mind was wandering. And then I just had this big dawning realization that, you know, everything's going to change at some stage.
Mm.
You know, your parents are going to die. Mm. They won't be around, you know, you won't go home to them for Christmas, etc. That, you know, you get into certain comfort in your life where you go and you take things for granted. And you go, that'll always be like that, that'll always be like that, and that'll always be like that. And it was just kind of hit me that, no, it's not going to be like that forever. Stuff is going to change. You're going to get older. Everyone else is going to get older. Things will like dramatically alter. Not dramatically, maybe dramatically, but also obviously it won't feel like this big accelerated, bam, you're woken up and everything's changed. I'm not talking about like The Walking Dead now here or anything, but...
No.
It was just, but it was just that thing of like, shit.
Mm.
And it made me feel really worried and really scared and really sad that I had taken things for granted for so long. And also a sense of urgency that like, shit, I need to, you know, I need to do more to make all the good things in my life count and appreciate them and, you know, while I have them.
Mm.
And, you know, human want of like, I never want to have regrets around anything. I want to really make the most of stuff. And maybe this is it's a whole COVID knock on, which is I spent that year and a bit being so disconnected from everyone and so like out of and away from all the things that really make you feel good about your life, like people and connections and relationships and stuff. And then like a crashing dawning.
Mm.
And then in one way, I was really glad that I was having such a sensible worry.
Right.
And that I was like, you know, I'm not going to say it's really good to worry about these. Because I have such a poor relationship with worry in general. I've hated worrying so much of my life. I've wasted so much of my life worrying. But I was kind of like, well, finally, kind of a useful worry where I feel like my eyes have opened to certain things that I was maybe like tying into your thing that I was just oblivious of, or I was kind of not wanting to look at and carrying on as if, you know, things are always going to be a certain way. So it's kind of, it's made me think big time. And it also kind of made my head spin and kind of made me really on edge. Because, it was a big old, like that oh fuck feeling, you know?
Yeah, of course. Because
that was it.
I mean, in a way, a beautiful one, because at the essence of what it's about really is about love and connection, you know, about appreciating and realizing what's important to you and knowing that actually where you are in your life right now, you feel obviously in this really amazing place of connection and love and, you know, and family and togetherness. And so I think in a way it makes perfect sense to go, oh, I know this is not going to last forever. Oh my God, I appreciate this so much. And it's almost like you're kind of, you're again, this is a theme of the week. You're forcing yourself to be present because the more that you're present, the longer life seems, because when you're in the moment of it, then the moment lasts for, because you only have now. Mm. So you're always now. And when you're always now, then it's, you're in that experience of a love and appreciation. It's
and they're when we counting. Start,
they're counting. Yes, they matter.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way, it's like almost like you're, because I think this is the my brain is jumping all over the place. There's an episode of Broad City. I don't know if you've ever watched Broad City. It's fantastic.
I haven't watched Anthem. I'm an Aegis.
No, it's very, very funny. They do this episode where the two of them are going through town. They want to make like a memory day and they're taking all these photos and all these videos and everything. And at the end of the day, they can't remember anything that's happened because they weren't present. They were just taking photos and you know, kind of showing, putting everything on social media. And I think that when you get very present and when you kind of say to yourself, oh my God, I want to be in my life right now, as we're talking about, it's like you're giving yourself memories. You're giving yourself those potent memories that you can come back to and relive and cherish and have forever. And also they're happening right now. It's like you're being so present in it that it's kind of like encapsulating this for you so that you always have this touchpad to go back to when, you know, when things do obviously inevitably change, because they will. But it's like you realized a beautiful thing, which is how brilliant your life is at the moment, you know?
Yeah, I do. I was only just thinking that this morning that if you could really appreciate life in the moment, you know, you could make anything enjoyable. You know?
Well,
just
also
the little things.
Yeah. Yes, but that's it, Phil. It's like, again, like having, I keep saying having a coffee with a friend, but I love having a coffee with a friend.
Oh, stop.
That is a really brilliant thing to experience, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, again, when you're always looking forward and you're always going, I need this other thing to make me feel happy. I need this other experience.
Yeah.
You're missing out on all this other stuff. And I think the great thing that where you are in your life at the moment is like, I'm imagining, not putting words in your mouth, so you could say that this is wrong, but everything feels really balanced and good. Like you're like all of the areas that people, like Martin Short does a 6 areas of his life. He likes to see, go through them all and see if they're all balanced. And then he goes, oh, if I've got those things balanced, I'm living a good life. So he says, you know, family, money, career, friends. And I think that if you did all of your 6 areas, then you probably would go, I'm in a good place with all of those things. None of them feel out of balance or lacking. Again, I could be wrong, but I think when you're in that, like you've got everything that the people are saying you should have, then you're kind of left going, oh, here I am and I have everything and I'm supposed to feel really good, but I actually now I'm going, oh, when is this going to end? Because as a worrier, you're hypervigilant.
Oh, yeah. You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Listen.
Sorry, I'm just scratching my ear.
Sorry.
But I'm also appreciative for the switch up in priorities, I think.
Right.
When I think I used to prioritize other stuff and now I think I've had a bit of a switch around there. And I'm enjoying my new priorities a bit better.
Yes. Yeah, which is, again, a beautiful and wonderful thing. Mm. I think it's a sign of, well, this is the thing. So it's a sign you're growing up, right? And then obviously.
I hope so.
Obviously, as we grow, it's a sign that we're getting older. As we get older, other people get older. And then things obviously change. And so all of that is a lot of change to consider. And our subconscious mind doesn't want to keep us happy. It wants to keep us safe and comfortable. So it doesn't like change. And when you introduce the idea of change, it's going to go, fuck that. I don't like it. Now you've upset me. Thanks very much. I'm going to go over here. I'm never going to speak to you again. So I think it's like, there's no one in the world who, when you introduce it, oh God, I'm, you know, people might die in my life or this might happen, that might happen. That their brain goes, and lovely, lovely. I can't. Superb. Do you know what? I'm so ready for that. Like that, no. It's a horrible part of the living experience. But I think it's, but I know that you're talking about it, but I actually see it as a really positive thing that what you're talking about, because I think it is about appreciation of what you have while acknowledging that you don't like, it's not like you're supposed to feel good about that change that's going to happen. You're not supposed to feel good about it. You'd be crazy. And also the thumbs up just disappeared.
Yeah, it came and went again.
Yeah.
It's going to just doing that? Who's Jesus. Doing that?
It's either Jesus or Paul from Cindy's World.
Or Mike, our producer.
Oh yeah, it's Mike, our producer. It's just pressing all the buttons. But yes, so you're not supposed to feel like you love the... No, no.
It's back, sorry.
Also, what does it want and why is it...
What have I said that deserves a thumbs up? I don't think anything I ever say deserves a thumbs up. Correct, thumbs up.
It's gone again. I can't wait for it to come back.
Come back, yes, now.
Come back. No.
No.
No. See, we want it too much. That's it.
You're pushing away. You see,
forget it. Forget about it. It'll come back.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah. It's like you're not supposed to feel good or happy about change. You'd be crazy if you did. But I think the underlying thing is you're recognizing how much you appreciate what you have right now, and isn't that a beautiful thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm glad I'm not at the moment. I'm not living in the I'll be happy when.
Yes.
At the moment, I'm like, I'll, you know, it's not that I'll be happy when, but it's like I'd be very happy if I learned to cultivate what I have here at the moment right now.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, there's also a thing that there is an absolute fucking thing where if you are hypervigilant and you're always putting out all the fires, right? The moment that you are in that experience of, oh, everything is fine, it's like your brain goes, fuck you, am I fine? I just now can't see the danger. I'm never fine. So I can't see the danger around me. So I'm going to start now telling you what the danger is. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing.
Yeah, because it's kind of this thing of like, stop going to sleep. Stop going to sleep. Stop going to sleep. No one's ever said that to me in my life, but it's kind of like, it's what you're saying. It's like if you start to switch off and get yourself all cushy and comfortable when you're hypervigilant, that's like going to sleep. And it's like you have to keep your eye on the ball at all times. That's what being hypervigilant is. It's like I'm spotting danger from 50 miles away and I will tell you when it's on its way because I'll have spotted it.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's like, it's almost like you're willing something into your life because you're going, I need to have, and that doesn't mean like, you know, you're asking for a flood or whatever. It's like you're just kind of going, what is it? What is it? What is it?
There's a wolf at the door.
There's a wolf at the door. Something. And it's not a puppy dog. It's an actual wolf.
Kind of impressed that there was kind of an accidental maybe theme.
There. I know.
Bon.
Isn't that funny slash amazing?
Yeah, it's great.
I'm very proud of our brains.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of us.
Yes.
Because correct. I think that we're experiencing and experimenting with different things and being vulnerable about things. Because, I mean, do you think that there's a part of me that is more than slightly embarrassed that I am daydreaming? Yes, Philippa, there's a very big part of me. But I think if you're not, like, sharing things like this is very helpful to somebody, maybe somewhere. And I'm proud of us as well. I'm just proud of us. I'm proud of you, but more importantly, I'm proud of myself.
Well, I'm proud that you're proud of yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, this is the end of this episode.
Come yeah.
on. I've done that
very intense. Not yeah. used to such intensity.
Especially on a Monday morning. I don't know if we've said it's a Monday morning, but it is.
Have I said it's a Monday? Tomorrow's Tuesday.
I don't think we've mentioned it once.
Well, if yesterday was Sunday.
Yeah.
Today is Monday.
Today is a Monday.
Well, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. That's what we're going to leave. The note of this episode is everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
If you want to email us, you can if you want. No pressure. It's We Heart Work. No.
Will I say it?
Yeah, cool.
weheartworry@gmail.com.
Oh, smooth.
Well, you see, I've also fallen into that rut of saying the We Heart Murray. And once you get in there, you're just like, can someone just take the reins on this one, please? Can someone else just say it? Yeah. Because I've said the Murray.
Yeah.
And it's all you can think of then. So
yeah. And I think that's a brilliant way to start around your day is thinking about Bill Murray. What a fantastic gift.
I'm a fan of his work.
I'm a huge fan of his work.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was the end of the sentence. Right, listen. Okay, listen. Okay. Well, let's just go.
I think it's best if we go.
We go. Thanks very much. And take care of yourselves. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.